Welcome to Career Tours. This week, what to do when you cry. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when I cry? How do I stop myself crying? And will crying ruin my career?
Measure what matters. We've read that. The things that get measured get done. We've heard this. Directives about measuring are everywhere. Data, data, data. And we can give you that data. If your team is trained by us, we include Roadmap. If you purchase a personal license, you get Roadmap. Roadmap is a way to track your one-on-ones, your feedback, your coaching, and delegation throughout the group, throughout the team, throughout the entire company, with charts and graphs and tables to satisfy all your little high C hearts, because measurement is key.
Crying or expressing any strong emotion, really, at work, in public in general, is uncomfortable. And at work, it seems to make it worse. You and I were just talking before the cast about, you know, not wanting to cry in public, not wanting to cry at work in public, just because that would make you cry harder. That would be worse for you to be seen than the crying itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if I started to cry and then I knew I was at work, I would feel worse and it would make me more emotional.
Yeah. So it's normal. People do cry at work. It's okay to cry at work. To answer the question right at the beginning of this cast, is it going to ruin your career? No. And not at least, you know, for, as most people cry, you know, occasionally. But we're going to talk about what to do if you find yourself crying to try and kind of bring that situation back to normal.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it's okay to cry. We recommend you excuse yourself and don't give in. And then distract yourself. We've got some ideas there. You can breathe a bit and take a walk. And then finally, prepare for next time.
So it is okay to cry at work. It's okay to be angry or fearful or happy or excited or any of the other range of human emotions. We tell managers it's okay to be angry with your directs. It will happen because they will wind you up some days. And it's not just crying that it has an outward expression, right? Angry, people go red in the face and their veins bulge. They might clench their fist. They clench their teeth when they're frustrated, right? So lots of emotions have an outside expression, like upset has crying. And it's normal and okay to have all of those reactions and all of those both emotions and the outward reactions. We are emotional beings and we don't leave our emotions at the door. Although, what is it that Sarah says? She leaves her emotions in the box.
Leave your feelings at home.
In a box under the bed.
Yeah, leave your feelings at home under the bed where they belong.
Yeah. Well done, Sarah. I can't do that. But you don't want to be unemotional at work, right? Because emotion is what allows you to build trust with people or communicate with people and understand their point of view, whether or not that's the people you're working with or the customers that you're trying to serve. It's being able to put yourself in their shoes that helps you communicate with them. And so we don't want to leave emotions at the door.
Mm-hmm. Crying is okay. It really is okay. It happens. And a great boss will understand and allow time for brief personal interludes. That's definitely something that is reasonable. And sometimes crying turns into something more. But failure to perform due to emotional stress is not acceptable. It's not okay. So a short bout of crying is really nothing to worry about, although some bosses will make you feel like it is something to worry about, meaning you should probably avoid those kinds of bosses. What's not okay is expressing those emotions that you're having to a degree which stops work being done. For example, it's really not okay for someone to be so angry that they yell at their coworkers. It's not okay for someone to be so sympathetic to the customer that they give away product or do something that causes the company to lose money. It's not okay to like some of your colleagues a lot and some not so much and treat them unfairly because of those emotions. Just like it's not okay to cry persistently at work, either in a meeting or at your desk or somewhere in the building. If your crying is stopping other people from getting things done, perhaps because they're spending time consoling you, maybe because it's upsetting to them, then you need to take some action. The major parts of which will be to excuse yourself and to fight your tears.
Yeah, which we'll address in a second. But before we go on, in this guidance, we are assuming you are crying for genuine emotional reasons. Whether or not somebody else would cry over those things is immaterial. It's genuine tears. If someone is crying to manipulate people, which is the other reason to cry, there's two reasons to cry. One, you can't help it. And two, you're trying to manipulate someone. If you are trying to manipulate someone, then I don't think you'd be listening to this because you know that honesty and ethics are like big, strong themes here. And crying to manipulate someone is not a question of emotional leakage. It's a question of honesty and trust. And if you're not honest and trustworthy, then don't bother listening to the rest of this cast because you're crying for an entirely different reason.
This guidance will not help you.
Yes, exactly.
So if you are crying at work, we recommend that you excuse yourself. When you feel yourself, you know, start to cry, if you know you're going to cry, say, please would you excuse me for a few moments, and simply leave the room. You don't need to actually wait to be excused because we're assuming that the people you work with are polite people who will not say no to your request for to be excused.
As a general rule, it's polite to allow people to be excused if they ask to be excused. You can assume that the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. We assume that people have a good reason to ask to be excused, right? If you're in a room with a lot of people, you don't need to draw attention to yourself by announcing to the room that you're excusing yourself. You could just talk quietly to the person nearest you, say to them, you know, I'm going to excuse myself for a few moments and leave as unobtrusively as possible.
And sometimes, like, you know, if you're in a room and somebody's just announced that somebody is leaving and there's like 50 people in the room and that's upsetting to you, that's okay that you're upset, but like you don't want to draw all of the attention to yourself. You just want to leave as quietly as possible. You could also say, if you're in a conversation with somebody, would you mind if we came back to this topic later and I excuse myself for now? That's a way of saying, it's the topic and I want to carry on this conversation, but I want to make sure that I'm in a frame of mind to talk and listen. Another thing you might say is, I want to hear your feedback. Would you please excuse me for a few moments while I compose myself? So if somebody is telling you something that's upsetting, you want to tell them, hey, I want to hear this. I guess part of that whole career thing is we got a customer service query from a licensee months and months ago. But they had a direct that every time they gave them feedback, positive or negative, the direct started crying to an extent that they couldn't carry on the conversation. And the person was like, okay, I understand that feedback. The person was quite young, I think. I understand that feedback can be upsetting. I understand that she has an emotional reaction to it and that leads her to cry. That's all okay. But it's not okay that I can never have a conversation about her performance because that's part of my role as a manager. So what we want to give you the words for is, I want to hear your performance feedback. I want to hear what you have to say to me. I know that that's your role as a manager, and my role is to listen and to implement. And right now is not a good moment. So we want to make sure that we're clear that we're coming back to it. We're willing to come back to the topic. It's just right now, we just need a few moments to ourselves. So leave the room. Go to a private spot. Do not go to the bathroom that everybody uses where there's like traffic the whole time. Go to the bathroom that's like on the other floor where there aren't any people or something. You know, try and get away to a private spot, not somewhere where there's a lot of traffic, and just fight the tears. And we'll give you some techniques to do that in a few minutes.
I mean, there's some situations where you really can't leave the room, but if you can get up and move around, you can. We recommend that you do that. For instance, in a conference room, you could maybe get up and refresh your coffee or grab some supplies or something like that, kind of move around. If you can't get up at all, you might try looking up towards the ceiling rather than down and taking a sip of your coffee or water. or whatever liquids you have on the table. Touching the lips and swallowing engages the parasympathetic nervous system, which will help to calm you a bit. And so there's some options for different scenarios that you might be in. As the meeting or conversation goes forward, you might consider making really detailed notes, even if you don't really need them. Again, this is kind of switching focus. It will cause your brain to concentrate on the words and the movement of taking notes, which can disrupt the thought process that's making you cry as well. So it's a really good way to distract yourself. It's also a really good way to listen and something to concentrate on something else. So those are some kind of techniques to distract yourself a bit from the emotion that's overcoming you.
So if something is a big deal, then you can ask to be excused for the day, the half day, or the weeks if necessary. So when we were just talking about asking yourself to be excused for a few minutes, but if there's a bigger thing going on, then ask to be excused for a longer period. If you're crying due to grief or illness or medication or some other temporary situation that may last a few days or weeks, then ask to be excused for that amount of time, and then to work from home for a few days. Or maybe you just want to work from home for a few days and you think, it's Wednesday. If I work from home Thursday and Friday, by Monday, I think I'll be able to control myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is what compassionate leave is for. When people say you have, like, in your vacation schedule, it says you have 3 days compassionate leave. This is what that is for. And like vacation, you need to take it if you need to take it. And if you need more, then most companies and managers are flexible if you have a good relationship with your manager. And we'll talk about that in a second.
Everybody reacts differently to the things that happen to them and in their lives. And some people really want to come back to work after the death of a loved one to be distracted, to be somewhere they feel comfortable, and to feel competent again, often. Others may need several days or more at home while they process their emotions. Some may not need any time at the time of the event and may struggle weeks later. Some of us defer our emotions and deal with things later after the initial kind of kerfuffle has died down. We should not assume that what would work for us is the same thing that will work for our coworkers. And as managers, we need to be willing to adapt to what each person needs, giving them what they need as far as possible without breaking the business. You manage individuals, not a team, and so each individual might need something different. And as employees, we need to ask for what we need without breaking the business. Working from home is sometimes a solution. It's easier to hold back tears or emotions for an hour-long conference call, for example, than to be in the office for an entire day. So working from home, if that's something you need to do, that you should ask. Again, we need to ask for what we need.
And it's amazing now that working from home is so easy. As I wrote that, I was thinking about, 10 or maybe 20 years ago when I didn't have a laptop. My computer was at work and I couldn't work from home, or I couldn't get onto the network from home, even if I had a computer at home. But now everybody can work from home. Like, worst case scenario is you get your emails on your phone, right? And you can reply on your phone. So working from home is a good solution, and it can be a sort of on-ramp. So if you've had a few days off or a week's or whatever, and then you're starting to be ready to come back to work, then working from home for a few days, maybe coming into the office for a half day can be a nice on-ramp for that. I will note here that the better your relationship with your boss, the easier this type of event is. If you've shared with your boss a loved one's illness, their prognosis, how you're feeling, briefly, your boss is not your counselor, but if you say, I'm finding things really difficult right now, then he's far more prepared and willing to give you time off than if you suddenly announce the death and ask for, and say, I'm not going to be in the office for 3 weeks because somebody died. It's a working with your manager on this. And it's also being respectful of the fact that you have a job and that you're needed, because if you weren't needed, they wouldn't pay you. you're needed. You're part of the team. So there's a balance there of, you know, what they need and what you need. And the communication of those things is what makes it easier on you, your team, and your boss.
Melbourne, Australia, how are you going? We've moved our Australian location from Sydney this year in order to bring our guidance even closer to you. Mark himself will be presenting, and we'd love to have you join us at our inaugural Melbourne event. You can register online today at manager-tools.com/training. Catch you later.
Okay, our next topic is don't give in. When you're excused, don't go to the bathroom and have a good cry. It's very tempting to give into the emotion or to allow it to overcome you. However, emotions and consciousness are different. You are not your emotions, and you don't have to give in to them. Worse, giving in and letting it all out actually prolongs the emotion and the crying spasm. When we cry, our bodies respond with fight or flight reactions, which may include shutting down some functions such as digestion and increasing blood flow to vital organs. And as we continue to cry, our bodies continue to react. And so we need instead to break that cycle.
It's interesting to think of adrenaline. You know, if somebody's scared by something, then we expect a fight or flight response. I don't think crying and fight or flight are synonymous mostly. So it's really interesting to know that and know what's happening in your body, because that helps you stop it.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways that we can stop this, or, you know, slow the emotion, is to distract ourselves. And so we recommend that you distract yourself, which sounds simple, but it does work to disrupt what's going on in your body and allow you to become more calm. It's one of the ways that you can break that kind of emotional crying cycle. You can distract yourself with thoughts of happy things, family, animals, what you're making for dinner. Make a list of your favorite things to do in your head and maybe think through that. If you have your phone, you can look at photos that make you happy. And while this sounds pretty elementary, it really does work. And I think that it's worthwhile to consider. It's so funny. It reminds me, there's a movie where at the end she says that she lays in bed at night and just thinks of all the good things. I can't remember what movie that. Oh, yes, I can. It's The Hunger Games. Never mind.
Does it all work out in the end?
Oh, yes, but it wasn't worth sitting through all four movies to find out.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so we can distract ourselves with positive thoughts and happy things. Another technique is to look around at your surroundings, right, and to carefully observe them and make mental notes. For example, you can count tiles on the wall, try to memorize a phone number from a poster, calculate how many minutes it is since the bathroom was last cleaned. If there's one of those lists on the back of the door, although I might feel weird about knowing that.
about knowing how often the bathroom is going.
But whatever it's
all,
works.
Yeah, it's all about distracting your brain, right? Because if you're concentrating, if you're thinking about the tears and whatever caused the tears, you've got 100% of your attention on it. If you can move just a little bit of your attention away, even on something completely stupid, it starts to break the cycle, and that makes stopping crying easier. And the goal here is to stop crying. Even though we've excused ourselves, at some point we have to go back. You can't just disappear. And you can't be gone for an hour. So the idea is to actually stop yourself crying. Now, if there's an ongoing issue that's making you cry, then you need outside help. Medication or counseling or lots of things that we're not qualified here to recommend, but there's lots of things that can help if you speak to somebody. So right now we're just trying to distract you long enough to stop the tears, stop the cycle so that you can go back to work. So another one is breathing, which sounds silly because everybody breathes, but when we breathe, If we're doing that shallow breathing, which we do sometimes when we cry, that's part of the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight piece. It's the sort of, oh my gosh, do something now. So if you breathe more deeply, then it engages the other system, the parasympathetic the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's the one that works when we're not scared, it's the one that works when we're relaxed and we're not thinking about things. So if you can trick your body into thinking, oh, let's do the parasympathetic one, that's the calm, relaxed one, then you can get yourself into that state by tricking it. So you don't want to hyperventilate or hypoventilate. You don't want to start breathing so deeply that you make yourself feel faint. But you can do one of the pattern is breathe in for 4, breathe out for 7. So you just count slowly. If you breathe out for longer, you'll take a deeper breath automatically. So it makes the deep breath more easy. But it doesn't really matter what the pattern is. So you don't have to remember that specifically. Just concentrating on the counting, the sound of your breath, the view, you can see your abdomen expanding and contracting, that feeling of growth and contraction. If you concentrate on all of those things, you'll find it easier to stop the crying.
Mm-hmm. You might also consider taking a walk. You may only be able to walk to the end of the corridor or the end of the hall, but doing that a couple of times will help. Once again, this is that discussion about kind of just distracting not only your brain, but your body and the functions it's going through. Moving slowly will disrupt the sympathetic and engage the parasympathetic nervous system. This is the one time where you actually can multitask.
I recommend multitasking.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I was talking to somebody at my conference the other day about multitasking, and I said, our brain's not very good at it. And I said, and it's why you turn down the radio when you are lost in the car.
It is.
Yeah. In this case, you can multitask. You walk, you think of nice things, you count your breaths. This will kind of recenter your body on its normal functions. And focusing on a multitude of things at once will force your brain to diminish the thought of what actually caused you to be in this state, right? The thing that's upsetting you. And we're basically giving that topic in our brain less space to take up so that we can concentrate on other things. And if you can go outside, that's great too. Although I guess it depends on where you're at.
Yeah, and whether outside is private and all that kind of stuff. If, outside is a busy shopping mall and you pretty don't want to go there, that will prove me worse.
Yeah.
So the last part of this is prepare for next time. So some of us tend to cry. I'll admit I'm a crier, and some don't. And if you're one of those people that tends to tear up when you're upset, be prepared for the situations that are going to upset you. So for example, annual reviews can be stressful and upsetting, even when they're good. Some people cry when they get good feedback. It's not that unusual. So when you know your annual review is coming up, get prepared. Like, make sure you have tissues. Ask for your annual review meeting to be in the beginning of the day, because one, you won't have all day to worry about it. And two, the more tired we get, the more emotional we get. It's that decision fatigue thing. Now, at the end of the day, it's harder to rein things in. So ask for your meeting to be in the morning. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, if you've been allocated 1 o'clock and somebody else has been allocated 9, ask if you can swap. So try and have your review at a time when you're more in control of your emotions. And then talk to your manager beforehand. And again, this is about having a really good relationship. Ahead of time, you could say, hey, I've found in the past that I get very upset during annual reviews, even when they're positive. And I sometimes cry. And if this happens, would you? And you can decide what you want. You can decide if you would prefer to be excused, or if you would prefer they just carried on, or if they just waited a moment while you, used a tissue and took a drink or something. It's not, for some people, going out and then coming back in is worse. The thought that I'm going to have to go back into this room makes things worse. So decide what helps you, what And what's possible, right? You can't say to your manager, never give me an annual review. That's not happening. That's not how this works. Again, you have to be prepared to have performance feedback, even if you find it upsetting. So think about ahead of time what will help you be less tearful or cope with the fact that you are going to be tearful.
Mm-hmm. Make notes too, I think, is a good plan, right? To make notes about what you want to say. Sometimes when we get upset, we find that everything that we're thinking about saying or all of our comments, all of our notes just kind of fly out of our heads. And so making notes when you're not upset means that you can say things that you need to say at the time, right? You can have those available for you to remind yourself of what you wanted to say. That way, at least you know you've prepared, right? You have that stuff in front of you.
And that can make the whole thing more bearable in the first place. The fact that you've thought it through and you've thought about, like, let's say it's the annual review and you've thought through your year and you've thought about the positives and the negatives, it can be less upsetting to hear the negatives when you already know they're coming because you prepared, right? You know what things annoyed your boss during the year. You know what projects you missed on, what things he's likely to talk about. That can make the conversation, the actual having of that conversation, you're more prepared and therefore it's less upsetting. So preparing for those conversations is really important, not just because you should be prepared for meetings, but also because it can prepare you emotionally.
Mm-hmm. And if this situation happens a lot, then you might consider talking to the appropriate medical or mental health professional. There are plenty of medications and techniques that we're certainly not qualified to recommend, but that could help with scenarios like this and situations like this. There's definitely help out there if you would like to seek it, if you feel that that would be helpful for you.
Yeah. And a friend of mine is a doctor, and she says, I'd rather somebody made an appointment for something that I couldn't help than I didn't make the appointment when I could help them. So
yeah,
that helps. I always think I don't want to go to the doctor unless I know what's wrong with me. But okay. She says you go anyway.
And don't Google it before you.
Yeah, oh gosh, WebMD is the worst. So it's okay to cry at work. You're not the exception if you do. Most of us have found ourselves tearful at one time or another. It happens. It happens to most of us. It's not a big deal, especially if you have a good relationship with your manager and you can talk about it with them. But the professional thing to do is to take action at the time to handle it and prepare for it and try and circumvent it or avoid it when you can, rather than letting it take over and stopping you from working and stopping other people from working and just causing a whole big drama. So we want to try and minimize it. We want to try and move on from it so that you can hear what's being said. But don't get upset about the fact that you're upset, because that will make things worse. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.